The goal of these podcasts is to strengthen you and equip you to have a normal Christian life and a normal church life so that you might be one whom the Lord can use to turn this age. My name is Ricky Acosta, and today's episode, we continue our fellowship in the line that we call Flee and Pursue. The last time, we started some fellowship on the book of 2 Timothy, in which Paul is desperate, maybe nearing his end, to say something to his young co-worker, a word of inoculation against the decline of the church, and in the background of a situation where the world is going downhill. In chapter 3, Paul says, in the last days, difficult times will come. But he charges Timothy, O Timothy, guard the deposit. O Timothy, fan into flame. O Timothy, don't be brought down by the situation and the environment around you, even by the situation in the church life. But pay attention to the deposit that the Lord has put within you. This wonderful eightfold deposit of a pure conscience, unfeigned faith, the divine gift, a strong spirit, eternal grace, the incorruptible life, the healthy words, and the indwelling spirit. This is the good deposit that was within Timothy, and this is the good deposit that is in every one of us. Oh, brothers and sisters, guard the good deposit, the good deposit that is within you. Fan it into flame. In chapter 2, there's some further fellowship that Paul speaks to Timothy. In the midst of the decline, in the midst of such a situation of decline and a situation where the world is worsening and worsening, Paul charges Timothy that there is a need for young persons with a fivefold status. That's what we see in 2 Timothy chapter 2. The one who stands with the Lord for what he is doing in the final age must be a teacher, a soldier, a contender, a farmer, and a workman. That's what we see in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 15, more specifically, verses 1 through 6 and 15. But before getting into this fivefold status, Paul charges Timothy to be empowered in the grace which is in Christ Jesus. Oh, dear young people, be empowered in the grace which is in Christ Jesus. Again, this brings us to the good deposit. To counter the worsening of the decline, the worsening of the age, there really is no excuse for us to be brought down. To counter what's in the world, we have a good deposit. Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. When we exercise our spirit to enjoy the grace that is in our spirit, then we can enjoy the empowering of this grace to meet the current need. Now we come to the fivefold status of those whom the Lord needs at the end of the age. Firstly, in verse 2, Paul says, and the things which you have heard from me through many witnesses, these commit to faithful men who will be competent to teach others also. So the first need is for teachers. We need to be those who have received and pass on what we have received to others. Don't think that this is something only for the older saints. We all have learned something. We all have been taught. We all have received. So we all are equipped to teach others. There are always some younger ones. And we can teach one another. Oh, a good place to put this into practice is in our small group meetings and in our gatherings of twos and threes, when we're together with our companions. We can share what we have received with others. And in this way, we're equipping one another with the truth. Oh, brothers and sisters, we need to be the faithful ones, faithful to receive and faithful to pass on what we have received. Secondly, we need to be the good soldiers. Verses 3 and 4. Suffer evil with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one serving as a soldier entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please the one who enlisted him. From this we see that whenever we rise up to stand with the Lord for his interests, we find ourselves in a battle, and we must be the good soldiers. Brothers and sisters, whether we realize or not, even whether we like it or not, we are in a battle. Every day is in a battle, and as we've pointed out many times in the past, the focus of the battle between God and Satan is not only on man in general, but on the young people of every age. So we need to rise up, and we also need to be wise, not to be entangled with the affairs of this life. And in this verse, this word life in Greek is the word bios, so denoting the physical life of this age. So we need to be careful with the affairs of the physical life. And that means the things of our daily life, like our food, our clothing, our education, even our recreation, all these things that are necessary for physical life. We can use them, we can be in them, and we need to take care of all these matters, but be careful of being entangled. It's very possible that some kind of recreation, like video games or sports, could become an entanglement to us that keeps us from being the proper persons that the Lord needs in this age. Then we come to the matter of being a contender or an athlete. We see this in verse 5. And also, if anyone contends in the games, he is not crowned unless he contends lawfully. From this we see that we need to be those who are disciplined. We need to be disciplined as an athlete who has a goal and works toward this goal every day with discipline and with endurance, with patience. Oh, brothers and sisters, we know from the example of the Olympic athletes, they work so hard for 4 years with a goal. They work every day, but with a goal. And they exercise the discipline, even the self-discipline, on all the things of their life. They're eating, they're sleeping. So many things are always done in view toward their goal. We need to be the same. We need to contend lawfully. We need to be those who are disciplined in the basic practices of the Christian life, that we are consistent in our time with the Lord, in our reading of the Word, in our attending the meetings, in our going out to shepherd younger ones, and even to be together with our companions. We need to do this in a disciplined way, and we need to take care of all the small details in our life to be such a disciplined person. The fourth point is the farmer. We see this in verse 6. The laboring farmer must be the first to partake of the fruit. What is a farmer? A farmer is one who tends to life, takes care of life, and cooperates with the seed of life in a patient and daily, enduring way. A farmer does not expect quick results, but a farmer knows the principles of life. A farmer knows to trust in the life and to cooperate with the life. When he cooperates with the seed of life, then always there will be a harvest. There will be a bearing of fruit. So we need to be those who every day take care of life. We need to take care of life within ourselves, and we need to take care of life in others. We need to minister life to others, and we need to minister life to our brothers and sisters in the church life. We need to minister life to the unbelievers, to sow the seed of the gospel within them. And sometimes we cannot be stumbled by what we see in front of us and not expect the instant result. We just minister life and we trust in the seed of life. Finally, we come to the fifth status, and that is of a workman. We find this in verse 15. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, an unashamed workman, cutting straight the word of the truth. What is a workman? A workman is a carpenter. And what is a carpenter? A carpenter is a builder. We need to be those that are concerned with not only life, but also building. And when we're in the Word, whatever we receive from the Word, we hope that we can experience the truths in the Word, and that the truths in the Word would be converted into our experience for our own building up, and then we could share that with others for their building up. Whenever we enjoy anything from God's Word and share it to someone else, we are participating in God's building. We're building God into them. That's why every day we should pray, Lord, make your home in my heart today. Every day we should allow the Lord more ground to make his home in our heart. Then when we enjoy the Lord and he builds himself into us, whenever we share with others, we can build God into them and be built up with others. That's our church life. Oh, brothers and sisters, this is the desperate need during the last time, during the difficult times of the end of the age. The Lord needs young persons who are constituted with the truth to be a teacher or a shepherd. You know, in the Bible, especially in Ephesians chapter 4, we see that teachers and shepherds are just one and the same person. How do we shepherd others? By teaching them, by sharing what we gain of the Word. We also need soldiers, those who are standing with the Lord to fight for the Lord's interests and are not entangled by the affairs of the physical life. We need the contenders, the athletes, who are self-disciplined in all the things of their daily life. We need farmers, those who are tending to life, taking care of life, cooperating with life every day. And we need workmen, carpenters, builders, who are allowing God to build himself into them, and then they minister this builded God into others for the building up of the church. And actually, both the first point and the last point have a lot to do with the matter of the Word. What do we teach? How do we shepherd others? It's what we gain in the Word. How do we build the Lord into people? We have to cut straight the word of the truth. We have to be involved in the receiving and study of the truth. The more of the Word of God that is within us, the more we'll be able to build up others and to build the church. Oh, brothers and sisters, in these last days, in the midst of the difficult times, we need such young people. I hope that you would pray, Lord, make me such. Make all the ones around me such to meet your need in this desperate hour. Lord, for your testimony's sake at the end of the age and for the building of the church. O Lord Jesus, we love you. O Lord Jesus, make your home in our hearts a little bit more today. For HTurners.com, this is Ricky Acosta.